So we left off, I think we had discussed some of the backdrop to the Tosfos and Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, and the basic issue that we were focusing on is the question of Chazra V'Ne'ora, that when you have Isser that falls into Heter and is Batel, let's say now more Isser falls in. So I had, you know, I had 100 kezaisim of kosher meat, and now one kezais of Chazra Shmaltz falls in, and so is Batel. And now another piece of Chazer Shmatz falls in. And so the question is, do we say now that it, when the first one fell in and was batel, it's not there anymore? And therefore we can ignore it, and maybe even go a step further, which is to say that maybe when the first kezias of Chazer Shmatz fell into the meat, not only is it batel, but it now is transformed into heter, because you can eat all of it. So now not only do I have 100 kezaisim of heter, I have 101 kezaisim of heter. So we had seen already the Gemara at the beginning that Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan, and there were four traditions in the name of Rav Yochanan, but Rav Dimi had claimed that according to Rav Yochanan, when our Mishnah says that Yayin Nesech makes wine usser b'kol shehu, that means when Yayin Nesech is on the bottom first and you pour, even if you pour a lot of Yayin Kashrin, let's say you have 1 ounce of Yayin Nesech and you dump 60 ounces of Yayin Kasher in one fell swoop in, it's all Aser. But Rav Dimi claimed in the name of Rav Yochanan that if the Yayin Nesech is dripping into the Yayin, which is Kasher, so then Rav Dimi said it's not a problem. Rav Dimi said that is kama batel, and he said afilu kol hayom kulo, even if the process goes on continuously. And the simple reading, as Rashi understands, is that you could wind up with an infinite amount of Yayin Nesech that fell into Yayin Kasher, but kama batel, and each once it becomes batel, it probably all becomes heter. Rashi doesn't state that explicitly. Now there is a basis for this. There is certainly a notion that Isser can be mevatel Isser. What does that mean? So the following example is cited by the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch. It's from a Tshuva Sarash in Siman at the end of Siman Sadi Ches in Yeridea. Supposing I have 30 kezesim of meat here in this pot, 29 kezesim of meat in this pot. Supposing one kezias of chela falls into 30 kezesim of heter, and one kezias of dam falls into the 29. And now, these two things get mixed together. Assume for the moment that you don't hold like we as Ashkenazim do, that chaticha nasis nevela, that when initially, when the one falls into the 30 and the one falls into the 29, it all becomes aser, and it's like you have, now it's all aser. Leave that, let's assume that way, the way most Rishonim assume, the way the Mechaber Paskins, that even when iser falls into heter and you're not allowed to eat it, it doesn't mean that it's all iser. It just means you can't eat it because there's heter involved. But if more heter should happen to fall in by accident, you don't throw it in on purpose, and now you have enough heter to be mevatel iser, that works by everything except for basar b'challah. Let's work with that assumption. So you have these two mixtures, 20 and 39, now plus one of dam, one of chaylev, it all gets mixed together. So what do we have in this mixed combination? We have 59 kezaisim of kosher meat, we have one kezais of chaylev, we have one kezais of dam. Is there enough kosher meat to be mevatel the dam? The answer is no. Is there enough kosher meat to be mevatel the chaylev? The answer is no. But if you take, and you ask the question, when dam falls in, is evaluated in this mixture, can you taste the dam? The answer is no, because there are 60 things that are not dam, kinegdo, that are mevatel the flavor of the dam. And when you look at it from the other angle, is there enough heter to be mevatel the chaylev? No. But if you look at the heter plus the dam, 59 plus 1, there's enough to be mevatel the chaylev. And so we paskin, even vashkenazim, if the mixture happens at once, one kezais adam, one kezais chaylev simultaneously fall into a pot of 59 kezais and heter, it's all mutter to eat. Because the kezai, the dam is mitzdarif with the heter to be mevatel the chaylev, and the chaylev is mitzdarif with the heter to be mevatel the dam. That is the way we paskin. There is even a Gemara in Tzvachim, which is not it's not lemaisa for many reasons. But the Gemara says that if you take a kezias of chaylev, a kezias of nosar, a kezias of pigle, or something like that, tame, nosar, and pigle, you have three different kezaisim from kachim that you're not allowed to eat. Right, whatever the stigma attached to each one of them is, doesn't matter for our purposes. And you mix them up, you blend them together, and you eat a kezias of the mixture, said you pater from malchus, because the two isurim are mevatel the third isur. Is there pigul here? No, because it's batel in the chaylev and the tameh. Is there chaylev here? No, because it's batel in the pigul and the tameh. Is there tameh here? No, because it's batel in the pigul and the nosar. But That's the fact the Gemara says. It doesn't mean it's mutadid in that case, but it means that isurim are mevatlin zozo. There is another example of this, which is found in the Mishnah in Arla, and this is, I mean, it's not, can ever happen in our lifetimes, but lemaisa, supposing, the Mishnah says that Orla is mevatel as a kelayim, kelayim is mevatel as an Orla, and maybe Orla is even mevatel as Orla. So let me give the following, this is the case of the Mishnah. The shear of kelay hakerem and Orla of bittel is 200. 200 heter is mevatel one of iser. So supposing we have, initially, one kezayis of kelay hakerem falls into this mixture, and into 200. So the answer is it's batel. After this happened, now let's say a kezayis of, it could be the same, and for the moment assume these are all the same flavor. They're all the same flavor because the requirement for 200 by kelayakem and orla is only by min bamina when it's the same thing. When it's min b'she'en amina, when it's two different flavors, it's a regular rule of shishim. It's benosein tam, right? Oh, everything, what we're learning now, we're about to see when we finish this discussion in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said that yayin prohibits yayin b'mashahu, but yayin and mayim is benosein tam. So that's the general. All the things that we're machmir on to require more than 60 is only by min bamina. So let's say I have, again, one kezayis of orla, of, I don't know, apples, applesauce, that gets mixed in with 200 kezayis of applesauce, which are mutter, so we say it's batel. Now let's say after that happens, a kezayis plus 1/200th of a kezayis falls into this mixture. Now, if, and let's say it's, let's call it kelayah karen for the moment. It may not matter. It could be the same orla. But let's say a kezayis plus 1/200th of a kezayis now falls into this mixture. Now, the mixture right now has 201 kezayisim in it. 200, which were originally heter, one which was the orla, which is now betela. So the Mishnah says that if you were only looking at the heter of 200 and one kezayis plus 1/200 of kezayis fell in, it would all be usher because you don't have 200 times in order to be mevatel. But now that you have that extra kezayis, so the 200 kezayis of heter can be mevatel one kezayis of the iser of kilaya karen, and the extra one kezayis, which happens to be orla, can be mevatel the 1/200th of a kezayis of kilaya karen that fell in. That's what the Mishnah says. So orla malas orla malas kilayim kilayim malas orla, they can be mevatel one another. Now it doesn't work obviously if they fall in at the same time. At least if you're talking about orla and orla. Let's say the Mishnah says orla malas orla, it means initially one kezayis of orla fell in, now it's batel, now a kezayis of the ode, the Mishnah calls it a 1/200th falls in, that's also batel. So it seems like we do have a principle of kama kama batel, that there would be no problem. We wouldn't say that when more iser falls in, the old iser wakes up and now you don't have enough to be mevatel it. So that's implied by several different sources, including by a Rav Dimi in our Gemara. Now, there's obviously one context in which that would seem to be absurd, and I'm sorry that Marshall's not here because I promised him I had the solution. If you have the right concatenation of Pshitos HaRishonim, how I could make all tarfas in the world, I could make mutter. Right, how am I going to make Chazer Shmaltz Mutter? The answer is the following. I'm going to rely upon the Shita of the Ravid, which is that you don't never say Chazer V'nei Ora, even by Min B'Shein Omino, and I'll hold like the Balei HaTosos that Min HaTorah, there's no Isser to be Mevatel Isser L'Chatchila, to mix it in. The Ravid happens to hold that Mid the Oraisa, it's Usser to deliberately mix Isser into Heter to be Mevatel, although even the Ravid believes that once you did it, Min HaTorah it's Mutter to eat. The prohibition is only a Knas of the Chacham, if you did it on purpose. So if I take the mainstream Shita of the Balei HaTosos, which is that Mevatel Isser L'Chatchila is only the Rabbanon, and I take the Ravid Shita, which is maybe also not mainstream, but okay, they're not Hubba Hatalia, right? They're not really conceptually dependent upon one another. And the Ravid Shita would be that you say you don't say Chazer V'nei Ora even by two things of different flavors. So now I can basically have a steady drip of my Chazer Schmaltz into my meat, have it constantly stirred up. By the time the day is over, I'll have 50 pints of Chazer Schmaltz and one pint of meat, but it's all kosher because it all is nitar through this mixing. That does seem to be absurd, obviously, which is why many Rishonim reject the position of the Ravid. And I'll just tell you at the outset, What it sounds to me from the Rishonim here, most of them, they think disagree with the Ravid across the board. In other words, it's more obvious why the Ravid's position is difficult when you're dealing with two things with different flavors, right? Because at some point, you're literally going to be tasting the Isser. But you could have made a distinction and said, only by min, b'she'eino mino, do you not say chazra v'nei ora, because it's all dependent upon taste. The reason why we say min b'she'eino mino is batel, according to everybody, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that min b'mino is never batel, so we don't paskin that way, but the reason why we said mimishenim is batel is because the taste disappeared, so it's like the prohibited food doesn't exist anymore. But if enough of the Isser falls in, even piecemeal, that I can taste it now, it seems to be very strange to say the Isser doesn't exist anymore. But one might have said that when it comes to yayin b'yayin, when it comes to min b'mino, that the bottom line is you're never really going to know that you're tasting the Isser. So even if statistically speaking, you know, majority actually was Isser, it all tastes the same, and maybe that's where bittul would work. So from the Rishonim here, I think when we read Tosos, it doesn't sound like he makes any such distinction, and I don't know that the Shulchan Aruch does explicitly. The Shach actually thinks that really al-pidin, to split it in half, he thinks really al-pidin, it should be batel. It should be batel by min b'mino. You shouldn't say chazer in error. That chazer in error should be limited to min b'she'eino mino. So he's not willing to be mekel chatchila, but in certain cases he's willing to use that as one tzad, as of multiple tzadim, in order to generate a kula. But from a logical perspective, it's not compelling to make the distinction and to say that min b'mino, you never say chazer in error, but it doesn't strain our, you know, cognitive faculties to argue that min b'mino, you don't say chazer ne'or, whereas saying min b'she'eino mino is never chazer ne'or does really create some kind of a strained position to say, no, it's, you know, that you're literally tasting the Isser, but you're not tasting the Isser because we have metaphysically declared the Isser no longer exists. Okay. So anyway, so I think I discussed the opening case in Tosus. I'll just read it now. I'll re-explain it as we go by. One more introductory comment. What the Ravid claims, and this is true on some level, the question is how far you want to take it, is that Rav Dini actually made two statements in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Statement number one, which is almost always shown, I think we reject it in Psah, is that Yayin Nesach being Oser B'mashahu is only when the Heter falls into the Isser. Then even a Mashahu of Yayin Nesach, where the Heter fell into it, Asers, no matter how much fell in, it's all Aser. That was Chiddush. And where do we say but if Isser falls into Heter, then it can be Batel. Then it can be Batel. So that was Chiddush number one of Radimi, and we're going to reject that Chiddush. As we're going to say, it doesn't matter which falls into which, Yayin Nesach is Oser B'mashahu, period. The second Chiddush of Rav Dimi is that afilu kol hayom kulo, you say kama kama batel. Now the Ravid's claim is that even though we reject Rav Dimi's first din, and that's what the Gemara explicitly quotes shitas that disagree in steps, and we've discussed that over the last two shirim, so the Ravid says that part was rejected. The Gemara never rejected Rav Dimi's basic premise of kama kama batel, and in the case of yayin and mayim in the Mishnah, where it's min b'she'eino mino, so Rav Dimi's principle would hold. That's what the Ravid claims. And certainly, whether or not we should paskin that way, it certainly sounds like Rav Dimi held that way. Like Rav Dimi, it's not impossible, as Tosfos will do, but it sounds like Rav Dimi held that you would say, you don't say chasav and ora, b'yayin b'yayin, and probably b'yayin b'mayim as well. So Tosfos comes along and it says the following. It's Tosfos, what's that? On Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph, I'm sorry, Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph, Dibar Maskel Ki, the third Tosfos. So Tosfos says the following: Ki aser Rav Dimi amar Rav Yochanan ha'me'are yayin nesach mechavis lebor. You're pouring wine. This was the case of the Gemara from a barrel into a bor. The bor is heter. The chavis is yayin nesach. Afilu kol hayom kulo. Even if you continue the pouring process the entire day, rishon batel. Okay. Perush says Tosfos. Afilu misrabe hayayin nesach lebasof. The simple reading of the Gemara, and this is really Rashi's commentary. Even if, at the end of the day, there is now, from just a physical description, there is more treif wine, more yayin esech, than kosher wine in the bar, it's still mutter. Now, Tosfos says the following. Mikol makom, amrinan rishon rishon batel. Mashmahacha, the Rav Dimi savar, kama kama batel. Which is kind of tautological, right? Kama means rishon rishon batel. But v'tema. It is a problem. The bebechoros perek halokeach. In Maseches Bechoros, Amrinan, Halokeach tzir me am ha'aretz. You buy tzir from an am ha'aretz. Tzir is the fish brine. Now, fish brine, the tzir in itself, if it is pure, is not makabel tuma. Period, end of discussion. You can use it, and we're not worried about the kashrus in this case on am ha'aretz. We don't assume he's not going to give us treif tzir. Now, he might be a cheater in business, so the concern is that the am ha'aretz waters the tzir down. And water is makabel tuma, and if you mix the water into the tzir, now you potentially have a problem. Now, here's the catch, though. So the Gemara says, "Halokech tzir ma'amaretz mashiko b'mayim v'tahar." What you do is you take this tzir, you put it into a bottle with a very narrow opening, and you immerse it in the mikvah. And even though, generally speaking, food that's tameh, which includes water that's tameh, you cannot do tefillah on. If my apple becomes tameh, I put it into the mikvah, it remains tameh forever. It only loses its tumah when it becomes inedible. But water is the one exception where you can't do tefillah on water. You can't immerse water. It's pretty hard to do that anyway if you didn't immerse it. But if you do hashaka, if you can get the water in your vessel to touch the waters of the mikvah, it's called zriya or hashaka. It's like the water has now become part of the mikvah. Now you remove it, the water's all tahar. That's what you can do. So the Gemara's eight says to do that is to mashika b'mayim v'tahar. Now you know it's tahar. Gemara says, why mimanavshach? If when the Am Ha'aretz sold you this mixture of tzir, most of it was water, I mean, he really diluted it. So then the definition, what is the status of this material that he sold you? He sold you water, not tzir. It might be tzir-flavored water. So then it's all tameh. But now, you did ha'avad le'ashaka. You attached it to the mikvah, so it's all tahar. V'iru batzir, if the rove of the mixture he sold you was tzir, tzir la bar kabule tomahi. Perush, Umiut Maya de Islay Butle, the Tsir who rove. So if for the Amaretz when he diluted with water, he only put a little water in. So since the majority of the mixture is tzir, which is not makabel tuma, the entire mixture is right now not tameh, not a problem, and therefore you can use it. And you put it, you attach it to the mikvah, you didn't accomplish anything, but no harm done either. So either way, when you take his tzir and you do hashaka on that tzir with the mikvah, you know that this substance is tahar. It's either tahar because it's tzir, or it's tahar even though it's water because you attached it to the mikvah. Now keep in mind the following. If you do zriya, if the majority of the mixture is tzir, and you do zriya in the mikvah, the minority of water does not become tahar. It's not a problem for you right now because the majority is tzir, so there's no tumah actively working here. But the water itself that's inside, that tzir, certainly did not become tahar because it wasn't put in the mikvah, because it wasn't there when you put the tzir in the mikvah. Because what did you put in the mikvah? Tzir. So now the Gemara says the following. Umasik, Tos says, Umasik Allah, the Gemara concludes that when we say that once you do hashaka in the mikvah, it's not a problem to use the tzir. Lo shanu ela litbo bahem pito. If you want to use the tzir as a dip, you know, like a vinegar type dip, you want to dip your bread in it. Avol likedera. If you want to put this tzir into your pot of water to add it for cooking for flavor, lo, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Dematza min esmino v'neor. You know what's going to happen now? What do you have in this pot? You have water in the pot. So even though in the mixture of tzir and water that the Amaret sold you, let's assume the following. Let's assume the majority was tzir. It was 5 ounces of tzir and 2 ounces of water in your 7 ounces of tzir that you bought from him. Okay, now you put it into your pot in which there are 10 ounces of water. So the Gemara says when you do that, the 2 ounces of actual H2O within the tzir find the rest of the water in the pot. Matzah min esmino v'neir, they wake up. And what is the status of that 2 ounces of water? It's tameh. It was tameh because putting in the mikvah didn't help it, because you didn't put water in the mikvah, you put tzir in the mikvah. And therefore, the water retains its tumah within the tzir, which doesn't affect you until you join it with other water. And then when the water becomes a rove over the actual fish tzir, now you have a problem. So that's why the Gemara says that you can only use this tzir in order to dip your bread, but you can't mix it into a pot where there's going to be other water. Tosus, I don't think, says this, but I think one of my students asked me this, or maybe someone here asked me this. There's an obvious solution to the problem if you want to put in the pot. 65. No, it won't help. It probably won't help with tumah.
Why not?
Because as soon as the water touches, it will be tameh through contact.
Okay.
It probably. In other words, water is metame water. There's a simpler solution. Mm-hmm. If you want to put in the pot, add the water before you put it in the pot, so you know that you have a majority of water. Do hashaka in the mikvah, and then put it in your pot. Right? Then the problem here is that by doing hashaka first, you don't know for sure whether you metahar the water. You only metahar the water if the water was already a majority. If the water's a minority, it's not a problem using the tzir, but the hashaka doesn't work on it, because again, when you're doing the hashaka, it's like it's not there. You know, it has a conceptual analog to the question of what happens if a pregnant non-Jewish woman goes to the mikvah for the purposes of gerus. The Gemara has a discussion in Yevamos, does the tevila work on the vlat? And I think the answer is probably, I don't remember, the maskana is not clear, but there are two ways it's going to work. It's only going to work either if you claim that the Vlad doesn't require tefillah because the Vlad becomes Jewish when he's born to a Jewish mother, or if you somehow claim that the tefillah on the mother can work on the Vlad as well that's inside, even though the mother should constitute a complete and total chatzitz around the Vlad. But in effect, in this case, it's clear the way the Gemara understands that the tzir, in effect, is a chatzitz. The tzir prevents the water, because it's a rove, if it's a rove, prevents the water from ever getting tara in the mikvah. So right now, it's not a problem again because a majority will be tzir. But later, when you toss it in the pot, we say, Motza minus mino, the water finds the water, the chazra v'nei ora, the tame water wakes up, it's metame the water, and that's metame everything else in the pot. I mean, the tzir is already mixed. Technically, if you could extract the tzir, it would be tame, but that's not what you're doing. And the concern is really the food in the pot. So that's what Tosa says. You see from that, velo amar kama kama bato, you don't say that once the water is misbatel in the tzir, it doesn't exist anymore. The way Rav Dini appears to be stating here. Rav Dini is the Mar HaShmait. He's the one in that Gemara who actually says that. I always like to point out to my students that if I knew the Gemara in Bechor is cold, I probably would not have remembered that it was Rav Dini who said it there as well. But it's something when you watch the Balei HaTosfos in action, they not only remember what the Gemara said, but they pay careful attention to who said what in the Gemara to realize instantaneously that there's a stira between Rav Dini here and Rav Dini there. Okay. So anyway, so that's question number one.
They had their own internet.
What's that?
They had their own Google.
Yeah, it was all in their heads. They didn't have as many distractions as we do. You know, the Mets never even got the season started back in the 13th century, so they didn't have to worry about that. Okay. The Ode Kasha, the Rabbi Yochanan. It's also steer with Rabbi Yochanan. The Bishmaitin Am Rabbi Yochanan Rishon Batel, at least the way he's quoted in the first two versions. Ubenadarim Am Rabbi Yochanan Gidulin Shel Truma Shegadlu Virabu Gidulav Al Ikaro Osarafilu Lakoin La Ochla Mishum Tevel. Velo Amrina and Rishon Batel. If somebody takes Gidulim of Truma, you have produce that was Truma, and now you plant it in the ground. So you're not supposed to do that. Probably Minat Torah, once you plant it and it takes root, it's lost its status. But in the Rabbanon, at least, they certainly say that Gidulei Truma are Truma. So when you plant it, it's not that you have to now separate Trumas and Maisos. Only a Kohen can eat what grows. If I'm correct, by the way, that Minat Torah, it really is regular Tevel. It means even the Kohen, though, has to separate Trumas and Maisos before he eats it. He can eat it all, but he's got to separate first. But bottom line is, the working with the din of Gidulei Truma or Truma that you plant and then causes stuff to grow, is considered Truma. So the Gemara says that once a majority of what's grown, there's more new growth than there is of the original stuff that you planted, at that stage, a Kohen is not allowed to eat it either. It's considered Tevel. So the question Tosus is asking, why don't you say, Kama Kama Batel, every little piece of leaf that grows will be misbatel legabe di ikar, and therefore it's all truma. He says, "I'm also afidlu a kohen laochla mishum tevel l'amrin amishum mishum batel." So now Tosfos gives us an enormous chiddush. V'yesh lomar de b'shmait de nami de kama rishon batel haynu ad shelo yipol sham kolkach min hayay nesach bein akol shelo yeh beheter shishim. Now, when we say that kama kama batel, it means only up to 1/60 has fallen in. However, once more than 1/60 that's fallen in is wine, more than 1/60 of the head there has fallen in, then Tosa says it's asar. That's what he says. Aval, im nafal kol kach min anesak l'seirigin bein akol she'em behet ha-shishim kedei levatlo, asar. If enough fell in, even though it's a seirigin, seirigin means it's going to be asar, the matzah minis mino v'ne'ar. So Tosus doesn't really explain more in the Gemara. This is an extraordinarily difficult interpretation of the Gemara. it is so hard to explain for two reasons. Number one, the Gemara says kol hayom kulo. What's the point of that statement? And that's number one. And number two, even more so, if in fact Tosis is correct, what difference does it make whether it falls in Seirgin or it falls in Vasachas? Right, the answer should be, even if it falls in Vasachas, if it's less than 1/60th, fine. Because everybody agrees. The Ravid, everybody agrees. Ravimi agrees for sure, L'chuleyama, that if more than 1/60th falls in one shot, it's definitely Asa, right? Because, in other words, we look at it as a mixture where it's Nesinas Tam. It's only because it's falling in drip. 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 So, according to Tosis, what's the point in even having the Seirgin? Right, the answer should be, and all that matters is, all Rav Dimi is then saying, is that if the Isser falls into the Heter, it's Batel B'Shishin. If the Heter falls into the Isser, it's Oser B'Mashu. Even if 100 ounces of Heter fell onto 1 ounce of Isser, it's all Oser. Whereas if it goes the other way, it's a regular no sein tam. That's what Rav Dimi should have said. He should have said that hareisa ben no sein tam. What does he mean when he says that it's that in ma'are afilu kol yom kulo rishon rishon batam? What's the rishon here? It's a very, very difficult position that Tosis is arguing. And just in terms of the language of the Gemara, I can understand Tosis's position. It's not it doesn't seem crazy to me to say that once we know that more Isser has fallen in, that the Isser wakes up. It's not the notion that metaphysically the Isser turns into Heter. That's a big chiddush. So I could understand Tosis's position conceptually very easily, but I don't see how you can fit in the text of the Gemara. If you asked me, I would have just said, "Say we reject Rav Dimi from A to Z, not just A, but we reject Z as well. Not only reject the idea that it matters whether the Isser falls into the Heter falls into the Isser with respect to the Ayin Nesach being Oser B'Mashahu, but it also matters if no, that doesn't matter, and we also reject Rav Dimi's notion that Kama Kama Batil. Okay, that's what I would have said, but that's not what Tosa says. But now he introduces a very, very compelling argument, and you'll tell me why it's very compelling, but it's also not compelling. Tosa says the following. V'teida, the last word on the second wide line. V'teida, shekenhu. Know that obviously this has to be correct. The ilo temahachi. If you're not going to say that, v'chi im haya adam ma'are chalav b'kedera shel heter, ma'at ma'at b'seirigin, ad shenisraba, I think it's chalav, it could probably go either way, ad shenisraba ha'chalav l'besof kol kach, sheher banosein tam l'kedera. So you have milk falling into a pot of meat, or maybe it's chalav into heter, but it falls in drops. V'chi sala adat rashi mutam yishem kama kama batil, at the end of the day, you're tasting it. Okay, so is that a compelling logic? Is that logic compelling? The answer is, I said it's compelling and it's not compelling. What's that?
Because of the
time. Right, so it's perfectly compelling in context. Yes, if you're talking about Mimbish Enomino, that's an absolutely compelling argument that it's hard to understand the Ravid's position on. But we're talking about Mimbimino here. Right, the whole point is by Mimbimino, you can't taste it. So maybe Rav Dimi's point is, when it comes to Mimbimino, yeah. Incidentally, if you're wondering how the Ravid would deal with the Gemara Bechoros, because that does seem to be a very good Ravid, right? Rav Dimi does say Chazven Era. Tosa says that the Ravid says Tuma is different than Isser. Right, Tumah is more chamer than Isser in that respect. When we talk about Isser v'Heter, what you're allowed to eat. So there, we don't say Chaser v'Neora. Okay. So anyway, but that's what Tosa says. And then he says, Ah, v'im Tomar. Im Kain. V'im Tomar, kevan dat shishim ko'amar, k'deperashnu, im Kain, ma chidishu zeh lashminen shei batal at shishim. So what's the chidish of saying that it's batal b'shishim? V'yishlomar, da asal ashminen. Rav Dimi came to teach us to afal gad the katani masnis and yain yain b'mashu. The Mishnah sounds like the yain esach is always osir b'mashu. The lomayri be isura l'gav hetera elamayri be hetera l'gav isura. That the Mishnah Rav Dimi is chiddush. That is chid. That's I told you. Rav Dimi taught us two things. One was that in order for yain to be osir b'mashu, it has to be isur l'toch heter, but heter l'toch isur is b'no sein tam. Let's call it. And number two was kama kama batel. So I agree. The Rav Dimi did have to teach us something even without kama kama batel. But he shouldn't have given us the case of kama kama batel. Okay, the Imtomar Tosa says, "Ulaferish Rashi, the perish, the kama kama batel afilo ebo shishim." Rashi doesn't agree with Tosas. Ha amrinam b'masnisan yai nesach shenapa labor kulo aser b'hana. So according to Rashi, How does that work? Why is it? See, according to Tosos, Tosos would say, once the Yayin Nesech was no Saint Tam, when it fell into the Is to the Heter, we say Chazav Vnei Ora, and it's all Aser. But according to Rashi, how do you explain the Mishnah, which explicitly talks about the Chavis of Yayin Nesech that falls into a bar of Heter, after you just said, according to Rav Dimi, number one, Isser into Heter doesn't make it Aser, and number two, even when it's no Saint Tam, because you say Kama Kama Bato, how will you deal with that case? I didn't think this was a question, as Tosus himself observes. Yeah, if the barrel, which is more than 1/60th, falls in Bevasachas, so then yeah, of course it's then we understand. No, Rav Dimi never. Rav Dimi almost said Kama Kama Bato. That's what Tosus answers. Okay. So that is the end. That's the Machlokas Harishon. Rashi and Tosfos really derive it. We're not going to read it, but there's a very long run on the Rif here, a great length, where he goes on. First, he quotes the Sheet of the Ravid, and then goes on all the Rais, and then he quotes the Ramban, who disagrees with the Ravid from A to Z. So as I mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, I think it's the Ramah, at the end of Simon Sadi Tes in Yerodea, the Ramah Paskins, under all circumstances, we say Chazor V'nei Ora. Doesn't matter Mim B'mino, Mim B'she'eno Mino, doesn't matter if he says Isser L'toch Heter, Toch Isser, doesn't matter whether you knew about it in between, whether Noda, the first Tarovis before the second one, the Ramah as we always say Chazav Vnei Ora. But the Shach thinks that Al Pidin you should distinguish between Mim B'Shein Amino and Mim B'Mino. Mim B'Shein Amino, because it's a question of Tam, so then obviously you say Chazav Vnei Ora. When it comes to Mim B'Mino, so we say you don't say Chazav Vnei Ora. Okay. Fine. So now we were up to the Gemara on Ayin Gimel Amid Beis, to the two dots. So the Mishnah had said, the Mishnah had given us the rule that when that Yayin b'Yayin and Mayim b'Mayim is b'kol shehu. That when Yayin Nesach, or I should say technically, Yain Nesach or May Nesach falls into Yayin, or which is kosher, or water which is kosher, the Mishnah said Yayin b'toch Yayin, Mayim b'toch Mayim is b'kol shehu. It asks us b'kol shehu, and for us what that means is we paskin, it doesn't matter, Isser into heter, this, it's all the same. Then the Mishnah said that Yayin b'mayim and Mayim b'yayin is b'no Saint Tam. Okay? And then finally the Mishnah said Zehaklal. The Zehaklal was Mim b'mino b'mashu b'shlo b'mino b'no Saint Tam. So, if I were not an Amora, and I'm not, but if I didn't know anything about the Amoraim and hadn't learned Gemara, how would I understand the last line in the Mishnah? I would assume that the Rebbe's editors put in a line to give me a rule for adults like myself. I wouldn't pick up. So just to remind you, if you're going to forget which way is which, the rule is Mim b'mino b'mashehu, Mim b'sheni mino Saint Tam. That's how we would have said it. I imagine if you look in the Yushalmi here, I didn't, the Yushalmi wouldn't comment on this. But the derech of the Bavli throughout Shas uniformly is, whenever the Mishnah, after giving you some details, especially details that would be sufficient, that tells you Zeha Klal, it's like an extra pasuk, so you have to darshan it. It's coming to tell us something else. In other words, beyond the cases in the Mishnah, because if its value is limited to the Mishnah, I can read Yain b'Yain, Mayim b'Mayim, b'Chol Shehu, Yain b'Mayim, Mayim b'Yain, b'No Saint Tam. So I don't need the Mishnah to be Captain Obvious in the last line. It's pretty clear. So the Gemara says Zeh Klal, the Pesach Mim b'Mino b'Mashu Shalabim b'No Saint Tam. Rabu Shmuel the Amri Tarvayu Kol Isurin Shibatora b'Mino b'Mashu Shalob b'Mino b'No Saint Tam. So Rav and Shmuel say that the rule throughout Torah, what you see in this Mishnah, by Yayin Nesach, by Yayin Nesach, by Mei Nesach, that's not limited to these things. Every situation in the Torah, if you have treif meat and kosher meat, b'mashehu. That's the rule. You have chazir in kosher meat, b'no Saint Tam. So they say, kol yisur in Shabbat Torah.
Every situation where it involves food.
Yes. Yes,
whether you. Liquid or
yes, you. Soft. You touched a raw nerve there. I'll explain why in a second. Now, we said it was all correct, but that's what Rav and Shmuel say. This is their position. And now the Gemara says Zehaklal la'asuye mai. What's that? It's the way the Gemara explains Rabbi Yehuda, which, by the way, is not Rabbi Yehuda. It's Rabbi Yehuda in the name of his Rebbe. There's a Gemara that says has a stira that said that Rabbi Yehuda's position that Mim b'Mino is never batel. That's what he said. B'shem, I think Rabbi Gamliel or something like that. But But now the Gemara says Zeh Klal Asuyemai Lasuy Kol Yisurin Shabbatorah. Okay, you want to know why was the mission telling you Zeh Klal? Because you might have thought that this was something that was limited to Avodah Zarah. By Avodah Zarah, you say Mimbamino was not Batel, but maybe by all other Yisurim or most other Yisurim, you would say Mimbamino was Batel. Thus, the Mishnah tells you Zeh Klal. No, it's not just Avodah Zarah. This applies to all Yisurim in the Torah. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Vareish Lakish to Amri Tavayu. Kol Yisur and Shebetorah Bein Beminam Bein Shalob Beminam Bein Osein Tam Chutz Mitevel V'Yayin Esach. No, B'chol HaTorah Kula, the rule is Bein Osein Tam. And the way we explain this is that minat, possibly when you're dealing with Min B'She'eino Mino, it may be you need Shishim, you need Bitul HaTam Midoraisa. That's the Machlokas HaRishonim, how we paskin about Ta'am Ki'ikar. If you can taste the Isser, even though the Mamashus is Batel, do we say it's Asa Min HaTorah or only Asa Mid Rabbanim? But the Shulchan Aruch paskin is Asa Mid Daraisa. So Min B'She'eino Mino, you require Shishim or Bitul HaTam, it's Bino Sein Tam Midoraisa. Min B'Mino, according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Min HaTorah, all you require is a majority, but Mid Rabbanon, they made Xera because of Min B'She'eino Mino. So they always required Shishim. They always required the equivalent to be Mevat al the top. So Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish say, no, that's the general rule. The only exceptions are Tevel and Yayin Nesach, right, which are B'Minam B'Mashahu, V'Shlo B'Minam B'No Sein Tam, and the Zeh Klal, the why does the Mishnah today Zeh Klal, Lasser Ye Tevel, right, the Mishnah told you about Yayin. So all you, what else could the Zeh HaKlal be marbe? What else could it include that's not in the Mishnah? Tevel. So the Mishnah, what's that?
Why Tevel?
Gemara will explain later. We'll talk about that. Okay. Now, before we go on in the Gemara will quote us a braisa in support of each position. So a couple of you pointed out, Sam noticed that this is Rav and Shmuel seem to be adhering to what the Gemara attributes as Rabbi Yehuda Shita. By Ein Dam of Atal Dam, and it's very much in Yana de Shavua, right? We're going to, again, for those who weren't here when we mentioned this, the Avoda of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, first he would go, we have no parochas here, okay, but the Kohen Gadol would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, sprinkle the Dam of the Par, then sprinkle the Dam of the Sar, then he would come out and sprinkle the Dam of the Par on the parochas, and then the Dam of the Sar on the parochas, and then, according to one sheet, the way we paskin, he would mix the Dam and the Par and the Dam Asari together, and he would go to the four corners of the Mizbeach and the top of the Mizbeach, and he would put the final Matanos of Dam from the Par Kohen Gadol and the Soyer Lashem. The Gemara Torah says that when he puts it on the Mizbeach, V'lakach mi Dam HaPar mi Dam HaSair. The problem is, all the way I'll say it, is that one of those two Dams, they're not the exact same amount of Dam. So one of them should be batel and the other. The Gemara says, that the Dam HaPar is Merumi Dam HaSar. Certainly, the cow has more volume of blood in, the ox has more volume of blood in it, but either way, the amount that he has of both is not going to be identical. One of them is going to be batel the other, and yet the Torah says, V'lakach, mi Dam HaPar, mi Dam HaSar, they're both there. So the Gemara, on that basis, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Dam Mevatel Dam, the Gemara extrapolates from that, Rabbi Yehuda always holds, Mimimino is not batel. Okay, fine. So that's Rav and Shmuel Shita. There's one problem, one vexing problem that Isaac mentioned. I don't know if he realized this when he mentioned it, which I'm not going to deal with, but I just want to point it out because it's exceedingly vexing, which is you have all these Mishnayos in Truma, which, by the way, I believe Rabbi Yehuda's mentioned as well, that assume that Truma is Batel Mimbamino. What's the shear of Bittel of Truma Mimbamino? 100. It's more Machmir. In other words, Truma's 100, Truma Chala, Bikurim and Trumas Meiser, all the Truma family is 100. Orla and Kalea Kerem are 200. Right? They have an expression that the Gemara has, Mitosha Huchbali Sura, because Orla and Kalea Kerem are Aser Bahana, therefore we double the shear. Right? Truma is only Aser Bachila Lazarim. Orla and Kalea Kerem is Aser Bahana to everybody. Therefore, Mitosha Huchbal, you know, Isuro, it's a Huchbal Shear. We double the shear. It's clear that, but that's only by Mimbamino. What's the rule? Mimbashein Omino by Arla, Kilai Kerem, Truma, Chala, Bikurim, Trumas Meiser. What's the Shear Bittel by Mimbashein Omino? Shishim, no Saint Tom. No different than other Isurim. So the only time, the whole point of having a Shear of Mea by Truma is Mimbamino. That means all these Mishnayos in Trumas, Rabbi Huda would have to disagree totally with everything in that Mishnah. So it's and the whole discussion, Arla Kilai Kerem, he would completely disagree with all those things, which is possible. So that's why, if you hadn't mentioned Truma, I would have been happier. So there are a couple of very long Tosfos in Shas where they try to deal with how do you reconcile such a position with the Mishnayos. And it's not easy. I think that the first line of approach, and I don't know if this stands in the end, is that those Shiurim of 100 and 200 is only by Yavesh B'Yavesh, not by Lach B'Lach. In other words, the din of Mimbamino is not batel, is only when you have a lach balach tarovis like the dam. But when it thinks by yavish b'yavish, which is essentially discrete pieces, so there you could have even Rabbi Yehuda would be moda, that sheet would be moda that there's bittel. So I don't know how, I never really got into the end of the tosis, it's all been very confusing to me, but for our purposes realize that, Isaac, that is a serious question, and if you really believe like Rav and Shmuel, then you have to greatly restrict those mishnayos and trumas in terms of the scope of their application, because generally speaking, min b'mino, by a regular kind of, it would seem, certainly a lach balach mixture, there is no bittel for it. Okay. So anyway, so now on to less vexing things. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kavasei, the Rav and Shmuel, and Tanya Kavasei, the Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Tanya Kavasei, the Rav and Shmuel, Koli Surin Shibetora B'minam B'mashu V'shalo B'minam B'no Sein Tam. Period. And the Brisa, so obviously it applies to all Isur. Tanya Kavasei, the Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Koli Surin Shibetora B'im B'minam B'im V'shalo B'minam B'no Sein Tam. Chutz Miteva v'yayin esach, which is b'minam b'mashahu, and shalom b'minam b'no sein tam, as Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish described earlier. So now the Gemara wants to know, I think, Isaac, your question, why? Bishlama yayin esach mishum chumrat avodas kochavim. Okay, avodas zara, we're very, very machmir by suri avodas zara. Ela tevo my taima. Why by tevo? So the Gemara introduces the following notion. Keheteiro kach isuro. That the same way Tevel is nitar by removing one kernel for Truma, so therefore Tevel is oser b'mashehu. It's an interesting kind of din. I will just say that it's more like a drasha than a real din, because the truth is, alpi din Torah, it's batel barov. It's only a chomer midrabanim, which means the reason is kind of what we would say a melitza. It sounds nice, you know. It's heter b'mashehu, isur b'mashehu. Okay. What's the connection? What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? The fact that it's heter b'mashu, it means that when you have tevel and you separate one kernel wheat, the truma, that removes the shame tevel with respect to truma. What does that have to do with an ister of tevel falling into something else? You can't remove it. Okay, but that's what the Gemara says. We'll talk about that more in a moment. And how do you know that you can be matir a pile of grain that's tevel, that's untied with one kernel? The Amar Shmuel, chita achas poteres esakri. One kernel of wheat exempts the entire pile from truma. Rashi writes, if you look at Rashi, chita achas poteres esakri mitruma, the halo is parashi uradida. The Torah never spells out a shear for separating truma. El erashis the ganchaksin vafilu koldu, any amount. The Rabbanon who da'amri ayin yofe echad me'arbaim ayin ra echad mishishim beinonis echad me'chamishim. The Chachamim said, with regard to separating truma, an average person will separate 1/50, a generous person 1/40, a stingy person 1/60, but you're not allowed to separate less than 1/60. But min haTorah, and even mid the Rabbanon, once you separated one kernel, that's done. That's the truma. That's all the truma there will be, and the rest of the pile is now no longer teva with respect to truma. You still have to separate meiser rishon and one more meiser to remove completely the shame teva, but the teva with respect to truma is removed by one chita. One very important notion to keep in mind here: when we say chita poch tera achas exempts the kri midaraisa, it only exempts it from the iser of teva. When you talk about the mitzvah of giving truma to the Kohen, if you separate only one kernel and you give it to the Kohen, you are not mekayim the mitzvah of matnas kahuna, of giving truma to the Kohen. In order to be mekayim that mitzvah, there has to be a shir nesina. And that's one chit, there's not enough of that. It might be a kesayis, it might be something more than that. So it's important to point out that you have not really properly fulfilled your obligation midaraisa by separating one chit and giving it to the Kohen, because you remove the shame tevel, you remove the status of tevel from the grain, but you weren't mekayim the mitzvah of titen lo, of giving the Kohen in a rachis to gancha. That mitzvah you're not mekayim. That requires a greater shear. This is a general point. This comes up in rachis hagez as well. The Torah says rachis geis toncha titen lo, but the assumption of the Chachamim is, first, there's no tevel there anyway, so the only thing is the mitzvah, is that there's a certain amount that you have to separate of Giza, enough to make a certain size beged, otherwise you're not mekayim the mitzvah of giving rachis hagez to the Kohen. Okay. And now the Gemara concludes with Tana Nami Hachi Bama Amru Tevel Oser Bechoshehu Bamino Shelo Bamino Beno Sein Tam. Okay. Now, fine. So that's what the Gemara leaves as a machlokas. So I want to just address two final issues today. Number one is the reason the Gemara offers here is that Tevel is Oser b'mashu because Ketero kach Yisuro. So Tosfos says that there's a Yerushalmi. You take a look at Tosfos Dibur Maskel Tevel. Tosfos says, Tevel my taima de Ketero kach Yisuro, ma hetero b'mashu kishmuel. The Omar Shmuel chita achas boteres sakri v'chi hechi the choshu choshev latiro choshev nami laosra. Tosis is trying to explain what the Gemara's melitza is. In other words, if there's enough chashivas to a koshahu to be matir the thing, so we'll say that tevel is chashivas and a mashu to be osir. But Tosis says v'tema the hacha mashma the time of the tevel b'mashahu dechehetero kachi suro but over Yerushalmi ka'amar the time of mishum the tevel yesh lo matirin the chol davar she yesh lo matirin afilu be'elef lo batel kagon tevel u'shvius u'maisa v'hektesh k'shem b'minam ava shalo b'minam b'no sein tam v'hashta treitame lamali. Now, so I want to explain this for a moment. We've touched upon this topic before, but one of the rules Tosis is mentioning here is that we have a principle that a davar sheyesh lo matirin is not batel. So the classic example is you have a chicken that lays an egg on Yom Tov. And then that egg gets, you actually take that egg and you mix it into your tavshil. There's an issur, probably issur the rabbanon of using that egg. And now you end up, you know, making a very large omelet with it. Even if you have 100 eggs in the omelet, you're not allowed to eat it on Yom Tov, because davar sheyesh lo matirin is not batel. The logic, as Rashi explains it in Beitz, I think Daf Dalid, is ad shetochlenu b'isur, tochlenu b'heter. Wait till after Yom Tov, and then you don't have to rely upon bittul. Now, the Gemara,
because it's only heter de rabbanon.
Even though it's only nisad rabbanon, we still say it's not batel.
Right. Correct.
So, and it certainly should be true, it makes sense, by Tevel. Now, I have to explain in a moment how is Tevel a davar sheyesh lo matirin? How are you matir Tevel? The answer is very simple. If I have X amount of Tevel that falls into this pile, and this pile, let's assume the pile is not Tevel. The pile is regular chulin. So if this pile, by the way, were Tevel, it wouldn't be a problem. Because I have Tevel and Tevel together, I have to say, true, it wouldn't be a problem. The problem is that I have a pile of Tevel and what we call chulin misukanim. It's already been fixed, it's kosher, it's ready to eat. Why can't I just separate some in order to, in other words, there's 10 ounces of Tevel that fell into this pile. So I want to separate, I want to separate 1 ounce from the Tevel as Truma, or half an ounce. Why don't I just take it out of this pile? Well, the answer is it won't work for the following reason. If I have two pots of Tevel next to one another, and Minat Torah, they don't have to be next to one another, but let's say Midrash Rabbanan, they are what we call Mukafin. They're next to one another. Let's say there are 200 ounces of Tevel between the two pots. I can separate, and it's the same species, let's say it's all wheat, I can separate from one pot all the Trumas and Maisos for both pots. In other words, I can be Mafresh from one block of wheat on another block of wheat. And Minat Torah, even if they're not next to one another. What I can't do is, if one of them is already Chulin, Misukanim, I cannot separate min hachayev ala potur, u min hapotur ala chayev. It doesn't work. If I separate from the pile of Chulin Misukanim, let's say I have two jars of wheat, one of them is Tevel and one has had all the Trumas and Maisos taken from it, I cannot separate from the Chulin on the Tevel. And if I do it, this doesn't work. It accomplishes zero. That which I took out is not Truma, and the Tevel, which is in the pot, is all Tevel. And if I separate from the Tevel, for both, let's say I decide I want to separate on the Tevel for both pots, one of which is Chulin Misukanim, things get messed up because the Truma that I separated now is a mixture of Truma and Chulin, or maybe Truma Tevel. It's a total mess. You can't separate Menachayev ala Pater, Menachayev ala Chayev. So once Tevel gets mixed into regular Chulin, now my Tevel actually falls into the pot, I can't separate some of it and say, this will be the Truma on the Tevel. It only would work if I could be guaranteed to be picking up only the Tevel, but I can't because it's all mixed together. But there is a solution. The solution may be obvious to some of you by now, which is bring more Tevel, put them next to one another, and say, I'm being mafresh from the Tevel in this pot on this Tevel and on the little Tevel where it is mixed into the other one. So that's a way of, if I'm able to procure Tevel of the same species, of the same year, and put them next to one another, if that's for rabbinic purposes, not required deraisa, and now I can be mafish from that tevel, the pot, they're both the tevel I'm separating from, and the tevel that's mixed in. That will work, because that's min hachayev al hachayev. That's the way tevel, in many cases, is a davar sheyesh lo matirin. Yes, Rabbi Lichtenstein.
Davar sheyesh lo matirin, I believe, means that the iser has in it already a possibility for a hectare, like the beitza. You wait a day or 2 days, and...
So what you're saying is half correct, but not totally correct. Firstly, you see that it's not so here. So the key is davashesh l'matir, and the way it's understood by the Rishonim, doesn't have to be automatic, but it has to be something that doesn't entail expenses or probably waiting a long time till it would spoil or something of that nature. So we Tosis are going to talk about.
That's not in Masechta Beitza.
No, in Beitza that's the one case there, and there's a case later in the Masechta which makes things more complicated on like Daf Lamed Ches. Which deals with a dough, a bread and water, and the problem is the water, a tchum issue, and that's the same thing. If you wait till after Yom Tov, will automatically be mutter. But what's clear from the Yerushalmi, and it's clear from other places in the Bavli, davar sheish l'matirin doesn't have to be automatic. What is clear in the discussion of the Rishonim is that if it requires great difficulty or expense, it's not a davar sheish l'matirin. The classic case is, let's say you have a tray fork, and it gets mixed in with all your other forks. So we would say that yavish b'yavish, chad betrays bata barov. It may be a little more complicated than that, but that's what we would say. And but you'll say, why don't you just kasher all the forks? So the Rashba says, that's not davashesh l'matirin. Why? Because for them it was more expensive and more burdensome than us. They had to go draw water from the river, they had to go spend the fuel. For us, the fuel is readily available and costs almost nothing. But the Rashba says, at least in his context, he says it's not called a davashesh l'matirin. If there are tirchos and hotzaos, great effort and of time and of expenses that you have to spend, so he says that's not called a davashesh l'matirin. It doesn't have to be automatic, but it has to be kind of cost-free. So this Tosis' question is, why do we need two reasons for Tevel not being Batel? Why do we need the Yushalmi that says, because it's a Davashesh L'matirin, as I explained to you how you can be Mata the Tevel, and why do we then need the Gemara's reason here, Keter Kachi Surah? So Tosis answers the following. If you only had the reason Davashesh L'matirin, Hava Amina Dafka Hecha Dabaylam Be'ir, the Az Yesh L'matirin, Shabaylam Yecholum L'hafresh. The only person who can separate Truma to Pater Tevel as a matter of principle is the owner of the Tevel. Let's say some of your Tevel, Larry, falls into my wheat, and you're not around, you're on vacation, and I can't get a hold of you, so what am I going to do? That's not called a Davashesh L'matir, and you're not around. So in that case, Tosa says, maybe I could go follow you to Tahiti, I don't know. Mikomakom, Kevan Sheishlo Torach Vahotza, Have Kishain Lomatirin. Kemosha Perish Rabbeinu Tam beParakazov, the fourth Parak above Metzia, the Lomikri Sheishlo Matirin Ela Below Torach Vietzia. So therefore, since you could have some cases of Tevel mixed in, where the owner's not around, and therefore it's not a Davashesh L'matirin, therefore, Hilkach Itzrich Taima Dahacha, Mishum de Kishitero Kachi Sura. Now that's part. Now, then the ilek all the time of the hacha. Okay, so then why do we davashesh l'matirin? Have a mina de lo have b'mashahu ela tevel gomur tehetera b'mashahu kiddushmuel. That would only be true by full fledged tevel when nothing has been separated from it. Aval maser rishon hatovel l'trumas maaser. Let's say you separate maaser rishon from your pile, a tenth of what's left over after you separate the truma. Now you give that tenth to the levi. But the Levi is obligated now to separate one-tenth of his Maaser Rishon, Maaser min HaMaaser, we call Trumas Maaser in rabbinic literature. He's obligated to separate Maaser min HaMaaser and give it to the Kohen. And for the Levi, when his Maaser Rishon is not had Trumas Maaser separated from it, that's called Tevel, with the same penalties of my eating regular grain when I haven't separated Truma from it. So Tosa says, in that case, I would have said that the rule of the Gemara here doesn't apply. Why? Because it's not hetera b'mashahu. The only time we say you can separate any amount you want min haTorah is by truma gedola, the regular truma given to the kohen from the initial amount of the grain. Trumas maaser is not b'choshahu. What's the shear of maaser min hamaaser? As its name would suggest, one-tenth. So Tosa says, I would have said, maaser rishon atavol trumas maaser, de tera lo hava mashu, ta maaser min hamaaser, boy afrushe, you have to separate a tenth, hava mina de isura lo hava mashu, lekach itzruch taima de yushami de yishashesh lo matirin. In other words, that's why the reason davashesh lo matirin, since in the end, the Levi can be matir. He can be matir. If some of his maaser rishon, which is tovul l'trumas maaser, you haven't separated trumas maaser from it, falls into Samhulin, the solution for the Levi is, if it's doable, is for him to take more Maser Rishon of his that has not had Trumas Maser separated from it, and say, I am now separating from this Maser, not one tenth of this, one tenth plus one tenth of whatever fell into the other thing. I think you don't even need Mukaf. I think by Maser Rishon you may not need Mukaf, and that's the way it's a Davar Sheish L'Matirin. Since it's a Davar Sheish L'Matirin, even though the Shear is not a Kol Shu, even though the Shear is 10%, since it's a Davar Sheish L'Matirin, a Davar Sheish L'Matirin would not be bought. So that is how Tosus explains why you have two different reasons for it. The final note on this issue, which is how do we paskin? So the short answer of how we paskin is we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. There is a very long Rashi on Daf Kuftes Amud Aleph in Chulin, where he contradicts what he writes here earlier in our perek a few blot ago, where Rashi says there we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that Mibamino is not batal. And he brings a whole number of rayas that he attempts to bring. And there's a very, very, very long Tosfos on that Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph in Chulin, an earlier parak, in Perek Gidon Asha, where Tosfos goes through one by one to shoot down Rashi's Rayos. Some of them are pretty compelling. Perhaps most significant in a way is Rava's famous Klal of Bittul, which is the opening passage, cited as the opening passage of the Tur in Yerideya Hilchos Taruvos, in Siman Tzadi Ches. Rava said, Amar Rabbanan Betayma, Amar Rabbanan Bekfela, and Amar Rabbanan Beshishin. The Chachamim said that sometimes we determine whether something is Aser by tasting it, sometimes we determine whether it's Aser by giving a goy to taste it, and sometimes we determine something is Aser by Shishim. And the Gemara says, when do we do it by tasting it? When it's something like Truma that fell into Hulin, you give a coin to see if you can taste the Truma. When do we go to a Kfela? When Iser falls into Heter. And when do we use Shishim? So Rava says, either when it's Min B'She'eno Mino, but there's no goy around to taste it, Min B'She'eno Mino of Iser, or we'd say Min B'She'eno Mino of Truma, and there's no coin around to taste it, or Min B'Mino, where Kfela, nobody can taste it. In those cases, we use Shishim. Now, Rava's klal is a pretty straightforward klal there. It also happens to be that when you have a machlokas Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rav Yochanan. So there are many rayas that Tosus brings, and we, in fact, there are a few other Ashkenazi Rishonim, not as well-known names as Rashi, who want to argue that Min B'Mino is Oser B'Mashahu. We don't pass, Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass that way, neither the Mechaber, nor the Ramah, nor the Nosei Kalim. So the bottom line rule of Psak for us is that we always say, whether it's Min B'Mino, Min B'She'eno Mino, is Bato B'Shishim, with the exceptions as follows. When it comes to Truma and all things that are Truma, Truma's Meiser, Chala, and Bikurim, we say that Min B'Mino is B'Meya. Orla in Kalaya Kerem, Min B'Mino, are B'Masayim, are 200. Yayin Esech and Tevel, Min B'Mino, are Oser B'Mashahu. And Chametz B'Pesach, which is his own discussion, the way we end up paskening, the Shiltos and Rabbeinu Tam really think otherwise, but we pasken Bein B'Mino, Bein B'Mishen O'Mino, Chametz B'Pesach is Oser B'Mashahu. Right, but that's the only Isser that is Oser B'Mashahu, even Min B'Shein O'Mino. I don't want to say it's not technically the only Isser. Beri or not Betela might be also, but in terms of substances, the only substance of Isser that is not Batel, Min B'Shein O'Mino, is Chametz B'Pesach. Everything else, the shear of Min B'Shein O'Mino, is Shishim, or what Mishnah calls B'No Sein Tam, and the only distinctions we draw are within Min B'Mino of 60 sometimes, 100, 200, or some things that are not even Batel at all.
And
Yavesh B'Yavesh? Yavesh B'Yavesh, what do we hold by those things? So Yavesh B'Yavesh, I think we hold complicated. There's a machlokas HaRishonim. By the Chametz B'Pesach, there are Rishonim who hold, is Batel Yavesh B'Yavesh Chad B'Trei. Right, so you do have such a thing, but we don't pass that. We're machmer even by Yavesh B'Yavesh, but it might be that Truma, that Tosus that I don't want to talk about, that I don't fully understand, it might be that Truma, let's say Yavesh B'Yavesh, doesn't require Meir, it might also only require Ro. But I'm talking about here, Lach B'Lach. Yavesh B'Yavesh, you meant to say, generally, Yavesh B'Yavesh is Batel Chad B'Trei. Yeah, but there's no mixing there. There's no blending there. So, okay. All right. Wonderful. Okay, Maracha Simatova.